Hello and welcome to Double Helix, the Transformation Podcast. Our topic this time is on transformation and furry, labels and identity.
To kind of try and get one in at the start of the new year. And also because Fuego couldn't be with us this weekend because she is dealing with a lot of cold-related issues, as a lot of us in North America are. So yeah, we got that going on. But so what we're going to get into today is a little bit about how the TF and furry fandoms intersect and whether you have to participate in both or you can just kind of take it as it comes. Basically, the question is to furry or not to furry. So before I get really into it, we're just going to introduce ourselves really fast. I'm Anger Boda.
I'm ABCD.
And I'm Fart Garfunkel.
Fart Garfunkel was pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I've
been sitting on that one for a while, clearly.
Well, yeah, because it's Fart Garfunkel.
It is Fart Garfunkel.
But yeah, so anyway, back into it. So the question this episode is how TF and the furry fandom kind of interacts and how we feel about how connected those things are. We're all going to kind of have different takes on this because we all kind of come at this from different angles. So I think that that'll be interesting. It's a shame that we are missing Fuego because I think her angle to this is also quite interesting, but anyway,
Fuego couldn't be with us because there are ducks living in her bathtub right now.
And so
it's
Fuego,
a choice. By choice. They didn't just appear there and she has to deal with it.
No, they're not squatting.
A little bit. Fuego owns a bunch of essentially farm animals, so like ducks and chickens and stuff, and she keeps them herself. But obviously because of the crazy cold, they can't be outside right now. So she's just like hosting all of these animals in her house and just kind of dealing with that and living her life. So yeah, she has a tub full of ducks. I guess ducks are really gross. Anyway. But yeah, so this topic was kind of prompted by, I've seen this discussion come up a couple times with people that I follow who mostly are writers and people who kind of want to exist in the TF community, but kind of don't want to interact as much with the furry community or don't have a fursona or don't feel like they have that level of buy-in with furry stuff. It comes up also with like conventions, right? Because when we were talking about the convention episode, the kinds of conventions we were recommending that TF people go to were furry conventions, but what happens if that's really not your thing? And like, how do you get an in the community then that's like so tied to this other entity?
It's 2018. Get a fursona. Bye, yeah. Everybody. That's the episode. We'll see you next week.
All right. Problem solved.
But like that, I mean, as much as we can say that's what it boils down to, like there is this persistent question of identity. And I think especially for us, because TF is like part of our identity to the extent that a lot of us, it's like our fetish, which is an important identity piece, or like for other people, it's like this deep fascination that they also feel like is a cornerstone of their identity. So I think it's hard to deal with the ways in which something that you feel like is intrinsic to you interacts with another community that you may or may not want to participate in. So, anyway, we'll move on to our topics of discussion.
I think it's interesting the point that you made in that it seems to mostly be writers that are chafing under this distinction, which I hadn't realized, but does seem to be true. Like,
yeah.
Most of the, like, of all the people I know who are like, oh, I'm into TF enough to make content for it, but I wouldn't consider myself a furry, like, they seem to all be writers, and it seems to be more,
yeah,
even almost more likely than not that a super into TF writer will be like, no, this is what I'm into and I'm not into furry. And maybe it's something to do with if you're an artist and you're into it enough to make stuff, then you were probably like the sort of person who was doodling that shit when you were 10, and therefore, like, it meant enough to you that you were like, oh, I'm gonna, like, draw myself as, like, a lizard dude or something, and that's how you got into it? I don't know, but I think that's an interesting point, that it does seem to be more writers.
The converse of this is that I have also seen a lot of artists who will draw TF stuff who don't necessarily identify as being into TF. This happened to me recently, where an artist who I really like posted like a sequence that they had done, and I was like, oh man, this is great. If this is something you're into, I host a podcast about how great TF is, and they're like, no, I'm not into this. I just really wanted to draw it. And I was like, okay, I feel dumb, so bye.
I don't think you have to feel dumb for assuming that someone is into something that they drew, but I also think that it's perfectly valid for people to just either want to explore something or just want money. So
yeah,
I mean, money is great.
But in that same kind of thing, we're talking about this whole idea of it being a Venn diagram, right? Like, you can kind of be into parts of it, or, you know, you can be kind of in these two separate spaces, and where it's kind of where the overlap is, right?
Yeah.
Because I've certainly seen artists who will draw furry stuff, they'll draw TF stuff, they'll draw just comic stuff, and they don't necessarily belong to one specific fandom as much as they are dipping their toes into all of these other different kind of avenues, and they can still enjoy themselves, you know, and explore these avenues and not be pigeonholed into one particular.
Yeah.
I definitely think it's more likely that you'll have someone who's into furry but not into TF than vice versa, and willing to sort of put that out there as their position. Like, if I see someone who's a furry, I don't assume they're into TF. But if I see someone who's into TF, I would probably be more comfortable being like, okay, you probably have a fursona. Like, not always, but you probably do.
Yeah, so I think it's also a question of people who consider themselves more into the voyeuristic aspect of TF, like people who enjoy watching other people change, I feel like are less likely to identify as furries. But people who are more into the like wish fulfillment aspect of TF are way more likely to identify as furries. And maybe that's kind of the differential when we're looking at writers, is I know a lot more writers who are, and admittedly, this is a small sample size, because how many writers do I know that write in this genre? Less than 10. Mm. But like, I know more writers who are into it from the point of view of, oh, I like to write this for other people and I don't want this for me.
Because I guess, I don't know, maybe the writers that are into it for themselves, like, they spend all their time doing RP rather than writing. Like,
yeah, I could totally see
that's kind of a shitty way to phrase it, because that makes it sound like RP isn't writing. But, you know,
stuff that isn't as visible
to the general audience, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm not sure how much people, although I'm sure there are people who publish their RP logs as fiction.
Yeah, I've seen them around.
I don't know how much of a thing that is, but I think you're probably right. I think the people who are more writing inclined, who like want to act out TF scenarios for themselves, like probably would be more into RP. Although I know plenty of writers who are not into it for themselves who also do RP. I think RP is a very like person to person thing, and it depends more on how you like to interface with sexy text than it does with
some person. You know, a person I'm friends with that you know asked me like, "Hey, I'm part of this RP thing. Do you want to join it?" I'm like, I used to like dip my toes into that like when I was younger, and I didn't get anything out of it. You know, like there, it kind of depends. It's also something, you know, you can grow into or grow out of. Like, it all depends on kind of what you're getting out of it, you know?
I think that that's one of those things that's also kind of contentious within both the TF and furry communities, is whether you RP. Because I think that there's, as much as we sometimes make a blanket assumption that everyone who's into TF is a furry, there's also a blanket assumption that anyone who's into either of these communities will RP. And that's definitely not the case. So I think maybe as a community, we kind of just have to get better about accepting when something isn't for someone and not pressuring them to move forward with it.
Yeah, so I think that. Well, I was going to say, like, I think that we're kind of drifting off topic a bit, but I think you've sort of very handily pulled it back on course there in talking about that sort of like how it can be okay or not okay, or how sort of it's visually, how it's treated to be like, okay, I'm into this, but I'm not into this. And how does that go down? Like the sort of thing of how easy is it to operate in the sort of TF space and not have a fursona to be behind?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I think that it's possibly the issue that brought this whole conversation up was someone we know, Kotep, was talking about how they, like, their fursona, such as it is a pyramid, because they were just like, yeah, I don't, like, that's not, like, I don't have anything to put there, and I don't.
It's like a joke. I don't have a fursona, like, I don't need a fursona.
Kotep's just really into Bill Cipher from Gravity Falls.
But I'm sure someone is, dude. I'm sure someone has a.
I don't want to dive into that because that's going to be a tangent. But yeah. I know for a fact.
Okay. No shade.
Your I'm kink just is saying, not my that's kink. A thing.
Anyway, but yeah. So what I was saying was that I don't. It's hard because, like, I used to do TF art on commission, and, like, one of the things you get from people is a reference sheet, right? So, like, a lot of people have a reference sheet of, like, oh, this is my character, and people who are more into TF also tend to have human reference sheets, so that, or, like,
or even just photos of themselves.
Or photos of themselves, but sometimes people will have reference sheets of this is the character that I use for TF. This comes up a lot of times with people who are transgender who like don't want to use their IRL body as like the basis for stuff, but like but there's also other reasons. Some people, I mean, some there's some straight dudes who only like seeing porn of girls turning into stuff, so there's reasons to have a character who isn't you or who isn't accurately represented by a photo of you, I should say.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Or it can just be like, this is the character that I have developed that I am interested in, so this character has a human form and a non-human form. Could you please draw a succession of images between the two, and I will be some degree of annoying about it at you while this is happening.
That's not nice. I had a lot of people who were very sweet. There's definitely some people who are pretty more intense than others, but
like, I feel like we kind of could like really boil it down to like the difference between one of the big differences I see between like artists who aren't necessarily furries and like furries is the idea of the fursona versus the OC.
Yeah.
And like you can have an original character, OC, and use that character for, you know, TF fodder or whatever, because you don't necessarily want it to be you or to reference yourself.
I think that the idea of having an OC and the idea of having a fursona, like the distinction there is one of the things that's really at the core of this, is like whether that character represents you and whether having a fursona even makes you a furry. I've definitely seen the back and forth around that of people who insist that even though they have a fursona, they're not a furry. And of course, there's like a cadre of people who don't like to be labeled, and there is a lot of stigma associated with like labeling yourself a furry. I mean, especially basically anywhere on the internet, Twitter's a trash fire for this. Like, there's the inevitable like slurs that people yell at you that are based off real life anti-gay slurs, because of course they are.
You can figure that one out.
Yeah, but just like people who don't want to deal with that, and I can understand not wanting to deal with that. But I think
I will go off on this tangent because I feel like this is something we were going to bring up at the top of the show that we kind of skimmed over, and it's kind of like, what is the furry fandom? And I feel at this point, the definition has broadened so much that, like, and it's funny because, like, I was starting to see a bunch of people were posting clips of furry conventions from, like, the 90s. And it's so crazy to think, like, kind of where it is now versus what it grew out of.
Yeah.
And, like, the depth and, you know, kind of like the breadth of interest. Like, you can define yourself as a furry for, you know, even, you know, for so many different reasons now.
Well, not only that, but there's like such, there's been such an explosion in the amount of media and ways to participate in the fandom that exists.
Like furry kind of was just like, I really want a bone Minerva make.
Well, in the 90s, furry existed almost exclusively as art and some writing, but like, and was very narrowly focused at like straight dudes who liked hot cartoon women. And like, that has expanded so much.
Think of, like, post-furry and all kind of, you know, and where the furry fandom is now. Somebody had a really good
thing of, like, post-furry's been around for a really long time. I want to give those people credit because I feel like they've been working on, they've been working to expand the definition of, like, what this shit is for a really long time in a way that I think took a lot of guts. Yeah. But anyway, what were you saying?
No, I was going to say, like, much like kind of any, you know, fandom, it kind of grew into like this huge large subculture, and so now that there's all these little pockets of different interests within the fandom, it's much easier to, you know, say like, oh well, this could be furry. It became much more than just like, I want to fuck Minerva Meg.
Yeah, no, and that's that's kind of what we've been dancing around. But I think that, sorry, what were you gonna say, Abe?
Oh, I was just gonna say that, like, I think one thing that I would want to sort of say is that, like, because it's become so broad, that when you have someone who goes, okay, I have this one thing that I'm super into, and it's TF, and it can be considered under this umbrella of thing, there's a tendency sometimes for some people to be like, dude, that means you're a furry, just accept it, like, have a persona, do all of this, like, you know, just stop. You know, stop pretending you're not, and stop pretending you're sort of like different or better than us, and just like do all of this other stuff that you have to do. And like, it's kind of fair to react like, no, fuck you, maybe. Like it's fair to be like, I don't want to part. Yeah, I don't want to have that side of it. Don't sort of put that on someone else to say just because this thing is under the umbrella of that you have to follow that whole label.
That goes back with the idea of the community, or the idea of what furry is versus the label. And I feel like you could be somebody who says, I am into furries or the idea of anthropomorphic animals while not self-identifying as a furry, because I feel like those of us who self-identify as furries are probably a little bit more committed to that idea.
But there's definitely a pressure in the way Abe was talking about of people being like,
I don't disagree with
that. Fuck you, just admit that you're furry. I do think that part of the place that comes out of is a lot of furries assume that people who are into furry stuff but don't identify as furries, that the barrier there is self-loathing. And that if they can pierce that barrier of self-loathing, then that person will benefit from it. And that's not always the case, right? And like, we have to acknowledge the difference between fostering a feeling of acceptance within someone and the ability to take things to the place where they're more comfortable and say, no, actually, maybe I am a furry or blah, blah, blah. But then on the other side of that, we also have to understand when people want to remain where they are and not try and slippery slope them into having six personas. Like, there's really no reason why there should be that kind of push.
I think it's okay to do that sort of thing with someone you know well.
That's true, because I super did it to you.
Yeah, but the sort of putting it on
You only have two personas, maybe one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
/2.
But yeah, 1/2.
But in any case, like, it's when you sort of react to that in a sort of a more social setting. Like, if it's someone you're close to and you can be like, explore things outwards, and that's fine. But if you just sort of like are talking to someone in a chat or in like a con or something, and they're like, oh yeah, no, I'm not actually a furry, I'm just super into this aspect, and your response is like, nah, you're a furry though, like, maybe don't, I guess, is what I'm saying.
So maybe the distinction then, and I think this is really useful, is whether you have the perspective on someone's experience to be able to have that conversation with them, or whether you're just being a dismissive jerk.
And to recognize that both of those options are valid. Like, you can be someone who's super into TF, but, like, hasn't really investigated furriness yet, and, like, you know, maybe they could go further, or be someone who's super into TF and is just like, yeah, but this whole side of that thing is separate for me from being into TF, and I'm not into that, and that is also legitimate.
Yeah, and I think there's also, like, one of the things we haven't really acknowledged yet is that TF is such a large blanket that there's a lot of kinds of TF that have nothing to do with furry, and so, like, we don't own, like, TG, we don't own, like, bimbofication, we don't own, like, people turning into objects, we don't own monster girls. Like, there's, even if we're assuming that we own anthropomorphic animals, like, we certainly don't own, like, werewolves and shit. That's just, like, a cultural thing. And so acting like we have any kind of purvey over this stuff is kind of silly.
Yeah, and if someone, like, is just super into werewolf movies, like, they could be into that without being super into TF or being a furry. Like, it's, I would say it's not necessarily likely, but it's possible.
I would say it's not unlikely. I'm just like, when you said that, I was like, oh, that's how I describe myself to normal people.
Yeah.
That's if I'm ever going to explain anything about any of this stuff, I say the things you just said. So, like,
I guess then that's part of the sort of distinction as well, to sort of differentiate between someone who's not, you know, genuinely not into this stuff, and someone who's just not comfortable being into this stuff either at all yet, or maybe around you. Yes.
Yeah, and you can definitely dig on this shit and not identify in this way. Like, Guillermo del Toro just made a movie about fucking a fish man. And, like, I really appreciate that movie about fucking a fish man. It was very good. Does that mean Guillermo del Toro is a furry? Probably not. But I do appreciate him making content exclusively for me. Thank you.
Listen, he just lovingly crafted that fish man ass, and then gave it up to the world.
Let's be real. Doug Jones crafted that fish man ass, and Guillermo del Toro just decided, yes, everyone needs to see this.
I heard del Toro explicitly pushed for the ass to be good looking in the way that the 2B's ass from Nier was, like, prioritized.
Yeah, because for some reason Guillermo del Toro thought that making the monster believably fuckable involved it having a super nice ass, as opposed to just being, like, a nice looking monster guy in general.
Yeah, and now our podcast has really sidetracked into talking about monster ass, but I feel like
as it usually does,
that's a diversion I can live with. But yeah, so we have a bunch of other talking points. Do we want to, like, go down the list, or
I'll talk about this next one because I feel like this is kind of something that's been happening a lot lately. So the idea of the fursona. Don't feel pressured to have one. I certainly have friends who are into TF or into the furry fandom even who don't have a dedicated fursona by any means. But, you know, I think the idea of a fursona is it's just, or an OC that represents you to some
an
degree.
An avatar.
It's fun because
a tall blue cat person.
Yeah, continue. It's fun because you can imagine yourself interacting online with these other characters, and sometimes it's fun to wash over, like, the humanity of, you know, it's just like, oh, okay, well, on the internet everyone can be a dog person.
Yeah, right? That's also kind of bad in a way, like,
kind of.
There's definitely a way in which the furry fandom kind of acts like we're all just funny animal people at the end of the day, and sometimes we'll dehumanize other people because they're just, you know, tippity typing behind a screen and they don't really exist. But that's a totally different
conversation. But one of the things I kind of wanted to bring up is the idea that, like, sometimes people who are into furry will get so enthusiastic about it that they want to proselytize and they want to recruit. They want to not only, like, oh, are you a furry? Do you have a fursona? I just made you a fursona.
Yeah.
And I've been seeing this a lot lately with people.
But who hasn't done that though? Who hasn't been like, I'm going to think about what my best friend's fursona would be like.
Yeah, that's fun.
I mean, that was me at 14.
But, like, to some degree, like, you don't have to have that. It's just, I feel like one of the things that defines the furry community is this enthusiasm for it.
If there's a lot of people who are really excited about something and they want you to be excited about it too. But it's okay to put your hand up and be like, not for me, pass.
Yeah.
I feel like it's definitely a thing if you're part of a sub-community in that, you know, sort of not the mainstream, to be like, hey, everyone, look at this thing that I'm into. And, you know, if you all sort of realized it, you would be into it as well. You just haven't thought about it enough. Like, this is great, and you all should be into it. And it's fair to sort of recognize that that's not always the case. Like, yeah. Everyone is going to be into that.
We all have an attitude that, like, our jam is the best jam, and everybody else's jam is garbo. And, like, that's not good. Like, there's definitely, like, an elitist attitude around, and there's definitely an exclusive attitude around certain niches in the community of people who will be like, ew, that's not for me. And I'm not talking about stuff that's, like, morally reprehensible. I'm talking about consenting things that happen between adults, and people are still just like, oh, not in my community. And that kind of burned furs sentiment. Should we talk about that? Like,
about burned furs?
I saw it come up the other day, and I really thought that was dead, like, as a thing. But wait, I guess, like, you know, that's exactly why I wanted to say it. Like, I guess every 15 years this idea comes up. The idea that, like, popular culture sees us as degenerates because furry porn exists, and that we should just stop furry porn from existing so that we can have some kind of, like, societal recognition that we're all supposedly desperately craving. And, like, I've always thought that was extremely dumb.
If we get rid of the porn, they're not going to be like, oh, you're cool.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if the porn wasn't the problem would be something else.
I have seen so many people get called dog fuckers in the furry fandom. Like, that's, like, the big slam, right? Is that everybody who's into furry is fucking dogs secretly.
Yeah.
And, like,
as a community, though, we also have to do better about, like, not allowing that to actually happen.
Oh, I've seen that dialogue come out. Yeah. That dialogue is starting to come out a lot more.
Yeah.
But, like, that also kind of gets labeled on anybody who's, liked a picture of, like, a cute dog girl or, like, anything like that. Well, that, like, an artist who is not necessarily a furry draws, you know? Like,
I mean,
that just gets thrown around.
There's a certain amount of dialogue you're going to get from somebody on Twitter with an anime icon, and, like, that's just the level of dialogue you're going to get. And it's not... I don't know how worth it is having that conversation, because those people just want... A lot of people who are in niche and NSFW spaces who aggressively dislike furries just want to feel like they're better than someone. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a big part of it, is that...
Which is probably another reason why people would not necessarily want to fully embrace the furry label.
Yeah, but also then we can't assume that everybody who doesn't want to call themselves a furry, like I said, just wants to avoid being ostracized. Okay. It's definitely an interesting thing. And the place where I see it have the weirdest dynamics is, like, chans. Is, like, the bottom of the barrel of internet culture. Because usually furry is banned on all of those boards except the trash boards. And, like, so all the furries go into the trash boards and then post a ton of, like, handsome dog men while they tell each other that they either are or aren't furries. Like 10,000 times. And it's a very weird dialogue. Like, to me, it just seems so, like, if you're 25 years old and like all the only pornography you consume is handsome dog men.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you.
I think there's something funny about the fact that, like, these people who probably get a lot of sexual pleasure out of Japanese anime, which is for all intents and purposes, fantasy, cartoons, like, all of a sudden, like, if it's a werewolf or something, that's the worst, right? Like, that's, like, the bottom of the barrel somehow. Like, that weird attitude has persisted since, like, furry started.
Yeah, but it all came out of, like, something awful. And
it's fair for people to like sort of anime girls or sort of like cartoon porn or whatever and go like, oh, I don't like furry stuff, like, I don't understand you would. Like, that is fair. But, like, that's separate from shitting on people who do like that. But one thing I realized while you were talking about that is I think an interesting sort of aspect of all of this is TF games I've seen around, like TF text games, especially like the Phinoxo ones. Tend to have, like, you know, there's this big forum around there, and there's a large bunch of people talking about it on the chans and stuff, And there's a whole lot of thing of people being like, oh, I would love these TF games if they just weren't so furry. Like, that is something that comes up sometimes. There are people that play, sort of text-based TF games online, but there is a line that they can cross, and it's like, oh no, now my character is 50, like 39% animal, and that's too far, and burn this whole thing to the ground.
Well, it's that the famous image of the girl and the cat, and it's all the percentages, and they're like
Oh, yeah,
past 70%, they're like fucking furry. But yeah, it's kind of, I think it's kind of silly for people to spend the amount of emotional energy like rigorously defining what is and is not a furry because furries are degenerate. Like it's
Well,
so
I feel like
fucked.
this could kind of parlay into another point. Like, is there kind of any distinction between the furries who are into TF and the people who wouldn't identify as furries being into TF? Like, are those two separate spaces? Where's kind of the common ground? Is there things that would happen in like the furry TF community that would push more people away because it is
So
furry?
I think one of the hard things for people who want to create TF media or want to consume TF media is that the place where a lot of that stuff lives is fur affinity.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know, in terms of having a TF community, I don't know where that is that isn't just on some sort of furry space. Like we said before, like, if you wanted to go to a TF convention, it's basically a group of people that you get together at a furry convention. And likewise, like, the biggest place for TF stuff is Fur Affinity. And, like, the sort of Twitter accounts that you'll end up following and talking to are generally furry Twitter accounts, but that have a TF focus. And I think that's one of the sort of the biggest things about all of this is because, if you are trying to be a TF person and getting out there, like, you kind of have to exist in this furry sphere, which makes it potentially a bit hard to be like, yes, give me all the TF stuff, but no, I don't want the furry stuff, and don't assume that that's me also.
I could see feeling bad about existing in those spaces as like I am enabling people to make assumptions about me that are incorrect.
Well, also just depending on how you're sort of existing in that space, if you're someone that like wants to RP, but you have to constantly fend off like, no, like, I don't want this aspect of it. Like, I don't have a persona. I just want to like sit someone down and turn them into an X or something.
I feel like that's kind of like we have set up kind of rules. Like, if somebody on their Fur Affinity page or on their Twitter account clearly in their header says no RP, like, I feel like that's like a distinction. People would be like, okay, I will understand and respect that. But if you
In
were to be
theory.
like, if you were to go onto Fur
In theory,
Affinity and like put in your header like, I'm not a furry, like, people would kind of be like, then what are you doing here?
So that's a good point because I think, yeah, if you put like, I don't want to RP, people would generally be like, okay, I understand what that means. But if you put like, I'm a TF person, I'm not a furry, don't call me a furry, I think you would get a lot of people sort of responding to be like, well, fuck you, like, you are a furry, you're here.
I think a lot of that is phrasing, right? So if you want to exist on a primarily furry website and your first comment in your profile is to come out swinging and insist that you're not a furry, I think that that's just a decorum thing. And unfortunately, like, I don't know, it would be like, I'm trying to come up with an analogy and I can't, like, but like, if I just came out swinging and was like, ah, oh, I'm not a furry, ah, like, I could see that being different of somebody just saying like, hey, like this is my thing on FA and have a profile picture that's not a fursona and then be like, I'm here for TF, I interact with TF people, like I don't have a fursona and I'm good with that. Like I think if you said something, I feel like if you said something like that, hopefully people would be respectful. I know that people wouldn't necessarily, but
And I know I keep coming back to this point, but I feel like it makes sense because there are a lot of artists out there who I follow who who will draw furry stuff, but not exclusively. Mm-hmm. So a lot of them have fur affinity pages, but aren't as active in the furry community necessarily, but they want to engage with that side of their audience.
Well, and I mean, if nothing else, it's like a huge money thing, right? Like, furry is a good commission base for people who want to make money off of drawing.
Oh yeah, we will give you money to draw me as an animal.
Not a lot of money. I mean, furry is like it's one of the low tier like pay things in terms of doing LO on commission. But like,
but you can find work at least.
So people, people want to have access to that. But there's definitely like I don't know. It's funny because catering to the furry community actually isn't always the most profitable. Like, and I think we have this perception that the furry community is a money pinata, and it's actually not. If you're in TF, the money pinata is TG. That's how you make a lot of bucks. And I think it's interesting that there's like a limiter, right? Because as soon as you put furry stuff in your content, there's a lot of people who will just auto rule it out.
This is a good time to kind of segue. Now we also realize that, like, what if you're into TF, but only one specific type of TF?
Yeah.
Right? Like, because we were saying, like, oh, if you're in the fan, if you're just someone who's into TF, would it make more sense to, like, have a label of just saying, like, no, I'm a TF fan or something, like, versus saying, like, I'm a furry? Like, is there a label for TF people?
I've definitely seen TF people call themselves TF fans or TF lovers or whatever. Like, there's a bunch of aggregate Tumblrs that reblog my stuff a lot, and sometimes without credit because they're jerks. And a lot of times they'll serve as an aggregate for exclusively TF content. And to the point where, like, a lot of times my content is aggregated with stuff that is very squicky to me that I don't love, but like that the person who runs that blog feels like my content goes with that content. And a lot of times it is more TG, more bimbo, more like stuff like that.
Yeah.
Those places where I don't always intrude.
So if you're into TF and you're only into inflatable TF or bimbo TF or something like that, or TG TF, you know.
Well, TG TF has plenty of its own spaces.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. If you want TG without furry, that's DeviantArt. There you go. You're done.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying, though. Like, we keep going back to this idea of the Venn diagram, right? Like, I don't necessarily think you need to identify as a TGTF fan to exist within the TF community. Like, you know, we're kind of getting into, like, the minutiae of...
Oh, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, like, I don't feel... Like, I feel like you could label it any... Instead of it being a hierarchy, like a ladder, it is, like, these overlapping spheres. And you can just say, like, oh yeah, I'm into furries to some degree.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, you know...
Well, the idea that it's silly, that we feel like TF exists inside of the furry bubble entirely is kind of silly. And, like, I think what Terry's saying is that, like, as TF fans, we often don't assume that every TF fan is into Toons or every TF fan is into TG or every TF fan is into whatever, but yet people will assume that every TF fan is into furry, which is silly. Because animal TF is just one slice. It's like one leg of the star.
I think if we're going to have this be a shorter episode, we should probably move towards concluding remarks now.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because otherwise we could just keep going.
I feel like we're mostly covering the same points at this point anyway.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So is there anything that we wanted to say to sort of finish it up with? Like, any other sort of concluding points other than just, like, let people be however they want to be and don't be a shit?
Yeah, I think that we need to stop assuming that everybody who isn't identifying as a furry is doing it out of some kind of self-loathing. And, like, it's totally okay. One of the things I wanted to touch on in this episode is my relationship dynamic with you and, like, how we come to TF from totally different places, and you weren't a furry and I am, and how, like, I still have that. I have that affection for, like, the furry side of it that you don't have, and that's okay. And that was like a thing that I needed to, like, make my peace with, of the fact that you're not, like, you didn't grow up with, like, a spirit animal and, like, into that more kind of, like, pseudo-religious, like, side of it that I did. Like, I really, as a kid, was into that stuff. And then as an adult, I kind of parlayed it into other parts of my life. But like, that it's okay for not everyone to have that experience, even if it's someone that you end up being really close to.
And also don't feel like you need to get them to that place. Otherwise they are going to be like shit about it. Like, just because I didn't have that experience growing up and I don't have that sort of level of attachment with it, it doesn't mean that I'm then sitting quietly at the side going like, meh, over it the whole time. Like,
yeah.
Every time it means something to you. Like, it's okay for, you know, things to mean more to one person than they do to the other person, as long as, like, neither side is a shit about it.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the hard things about being a furry is we constantly assume we're going to be judged. We constantly assume that we're going to be judged by other people, and that if other people don't share our exact interests, that means they don't like us. And that's
there's
not
a
true.
Vulnerability to sort of having that out there. And yeah. If the other person says, oh my God, me too, then you're fine because you're both in the same space. But if one person is standing outside that space, then there's that thing to like, I either need to pull them in or push them out entirely, because otherwise they can just stand there on the like the lip of this like cliff and just laugh at me. Like,
yeah.
And
the assumption that they would do that, the assumption that people will judge you and laugh at you if they're not exactly the same as you it's a hard thing for especially furries to dump, because we do experience that a lot.
And I think that is what then parlays into, if you have 20 people in a space that are in exactly that one spot, and you have the one person who is in the slightly removed spot of, I'm not a furry, I don't have that element, but I do have this TF element, then it can lead the sort of big group of people to be like, oh, well, you know, we're going to be like a little bit shitty about this.
Yeah.
Like I think that is a possibility that can come. It's not something I've ever, you know, experienced in person or even like passingly online, but I think it's possible maybe to have something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you, because I definitely felt that tension in our relationship, and like, that's crazy. Like, that's such a silly, minute thing. But I think one of the things I experienced with us is that when you have 93% overlap with somebody, you want 97% overlap with somebody, because at the end of the day, everybody wants to feel like they are completely understood they feel like they can't have that unless there's that 97, 98, 100% overlap.
I think the one thing we can take away from all of this is that like the label idea is faulty. It's ridiculous to say like, oh, I could be into all this furry stuff, I could have a fursuit and a fursona and all that stuff, but I don't consider myself a furry. I don't think that's what I'm trying to say, but the idea that like, I'm just into all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily need to have a label. And I could be into TF stuff, and I could be into rubber and all the other crazy stuff I'm into, and it builds this whole picture. And like, if you're into one of those things more or, you know, than the other thing, and or you know, you have mutual friends who are into similar things but not exactly the same thing, that's fine.
Like, yeah,
the more we go on, the more I'm realizing the idea of labeling and creating these pockets of, you know, like...
Well, so the labels are really useful for tagging content.
I agree with that.
That's something that I did want to bring up.
Yeah, no. The idea of, like, saying, like, this is a thing I'm... But I'm talking more about the idea of using a label for self-identification.
Well, I think one of the values in using labels for self-identification, and I'll keep this really short because I know we're trying to wrap up, is as a flag to other folks. Like, as a flag for other people to say, like, hey, I'm this. If you want to talk about this, come talk to me. And, like...
Labels are hand... It can be good to apply to yourself and to stuff that you make, but they're not great to apply to other people, the sort of takeaway.
And I agree with the idea of, like, saying, like, this is a thing that I'm into, or this is a thing that I strongly agree with. But when you self-identify, I feel like that, you know, can kind of... be a slippery slope of saying, like, you know, like, oh, okay, well then now we're pigeonholing you into everything that is in this specific label.
Well, this is always the tension with any kind of label, and this is the reason why people are like, oh, I'm not that because I don't like labels. But it's like, the usefulness of labels is in networking and finding other people. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody, you're never going to be able to succinctly identify your entire essence and being in 12 tags on Fur Affinity. You know, like, that's just not a thing. And so we use labels as like a placeholder for that.
Yeah.
Because we're just, they're, you don't even know yourself. No one knows themselves well enough to write a paragraph and perfectly sum up their whole deal.
I feel like that would have been a great space for a joke, but I did not have one witty enough to go there.
I'm sorry.
But yes, I think that is probably a good place to wrap up.
Yeah, I'm sorry if this was kind of circular and we didn't really solve anything. I think we're just kind of imploring folks to let other people be and just like allow them to be valid in their experience, as wanky as that sounds. Like, just let people do their thing and not try and force them in one direction or another. But if somebody does express interest in something, enable it. Like, if one of your friends is getting more into furry, like, draw them a picture, write them a story. Like, there's ways to get people to come along that path with you in a way that's not shitty.
All right, I think that's as good a note as any to finish up on. So, on that note, I'm ABCD.
I'm Angerboda.
And I'm Fart Garfunkel.
I really thought you were going to do something with Paul Simon, but I guess that's still good. good night, everybody. I forget how he ends. Oh, no! Keep fucking them snake babes.